What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's big win against Kentucky last night. The choice is yours. Coming up at 7:45. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've just seen Joe Burrow take the Cincinnati Bengals from the doldrums of the NFL to the Super Bowl in his second year, his first full season, but his second year as quarterback of the Bengals. And look, I'm not about to sit here and ask you if Trevor Lawrence can take the Jag to the Super Bowl in his second year, because I don't even entertain the idea of that being remotely possible next year for the Jags. I will say, though, I think we all recognize coming out of college the ability and the talent level that Trevor Lawrence brings to the table. You know, it was a rough year for him. He had 12 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions, and an offense that was almost totally anemic by the end of the year. The coaching situation goes without saying how brutal that was down there in Jacksonville this year with Urban Meyer, and not only off the field, what all was going on there, but on the field, I thought there were some pretty disastrous moments there as well. Doug Peterson now has been hired as head coach of the Jags, and you can think what you will of Doug Peterson, but he has been an NFL coach before, has been a successful NFL coach before. My question to you is, do you think it's possible that we could see a pretty big jump from Trevor Lawrence from year one to year two? And if so, what could that mean? Can the Jags actually be competitive in the AFC South? Because I think most people, really myself included, view the AFC South right now as there's the Titans on one tier, there's the Colts slightly below them right now, depending on what they do at quarterback, and then Houston and Jacksonville are just going to be absolute dog water in the division next year. Do you think it's possible that Trevor Lawrence takes a big jump from year one to year two?
I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't have expected this question, but now that you ask it, it's actually – I like the question. And actually, I think the comparison – yeah, the Burrow thing is – you're not going to find that too often. But think about the Tennessee Titans. Yep. In year two of Marcus Mariota, who obviously did not turn out to be – obviously, you're the Jags. You want Trevor Lawrence to turn out to be better than Marcus Mariota.
Yes,
but you're talking about the number two pick, and in his second season, which was his first full season with Mike Mularkey, he had his best pro season. It was really promising. He was very good in a terrible team, bottom of the league, number one overall pick, improves to 9-7 and should have made the playoffs. Should have actually won the AFC South that year. Actually gave it up at Jacksonville, where, of course, Mariota had his leg broken. But that is the NFL. It was an incredibly impressive year. He was really good. It's also in this league, you see that a fair amount. You see a team go from terrible to at least middle of the pack all the time. So could it happen? Yeah, for sure. I think Peterson's a good coach. I don't hate the hire. I don't know what happened with Byron Leftwich, but Peterson has won a Super Bowl. So I don't know all that happened in Philadelphia. I know that there were some people unhappy with him, power struggle like usually happens, but they were in such cap stress too. So I feel like he could be good for Trevor Lawrence. Certainly Trevor Lawrence will no longer have to like answer for his coach doing stupid crap all the time. And I still believe that he could be a great quarterback in this league. You have a good offseason of player acquisition. You have some good luck with some young players and some health. And, yeah, they could be a 9-8 range team next year. I mean, I wouldn't – right now I'd pick them to win about 4 or 5 games. But, yeah, that could happen.
Well, I say this and I bring this up because, like, I have no idea how to judge Trevor Lawrence after his first year because, I mean, the numbers are bad. I mean, he threw for 3,600 yards, 6 yards an attempt, which is a really low number, 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. I mean, we saw this offense walk in here to Nissan Stadium towards the end of the year. I mean, it was awful. He threw, what, 4 interceptions in that game? It was just a really bad offense. And look, I'm not trying to absolve him of blame here because I think some of the decisions that he made throwing the ball were bad, and he's going to have to get better in that area. I just don't know how to really judge his rookie year when you factor in what his head coach was doing. I mean, the off the field stuff, on the field, I thought that the Jags, it's not like they had like this awful receiving core out there. I mean, Marvin Jones, I think, is a good player. It didn't look like an NFL quality offense out there. So I just don't know really what to take away from Trevor Lawrence in his rookie year because, look, I thought he had a chance as the year went on to get better and to maybe sneak up and win some games. And I know they beat the Colts to close out the season. That had more to do with the Colts offensive line and Carson Wentz just kind of turtling at the end of the season than it did anything else. But I have no idea what really to take away from Trevor Lawrence's first year, given who his head coach was. I've seen him play. I've watched him play a lot in college. I think we know what the talent level he brings to the table. Like, it would not surprise me next year if you're looking around and saying, wow, Trevor Lawrence, now we're starting to see it. Like, there's some pretty good throws that he's making, and he has been able to really turn this thing around. Now, I don't know that that means that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to all of a sudden be in contention for the AFC South, but they could win 7 games next year, 7, 8, if Trevor Lawrence is significantly better. I just don't really think people are given that much of a chance next year, and I'm not willing to go there yet.
Yeah, it's difficult with him because – I mean, it was disappointing, even with everything that went on. And let's also remember, you know, injuries at receiver too. But even with all that, I was disappointed. I would have expected him to show more promise. You just have to. It's just again like the timeline on the rookie quarterback in this league has been accelerated so much, and understandably so to some extent because there are a lot of guys who are come right in and you're like, boom, there it is. You can see it. Joe Burrow, there it is. Yep. But again, Peyton Manning threw, what did he throw? 31 picks as a rookie? Was that 30, 31? And it wasn't like he immediately became a superstar the next year either, by the way. So it's just there are different timelines for people. Like, I'm not even totally, and probably just because I'm a huge Tua homer, but I'm not even totally ready to say, like, you know, it's not going to work out for him. I am discouraged, though, by overall what we've seen from Tua. Trevor, it's just way too early when you consider the dysfunction. And that's another thing, Robbie, is, I mean, you know, the core of the dysfunction is still there in Jacksonville. So what does that mean? You know, I mean, is that going to drag Doug Peterson down? You know, the fact that his GM has a new coach every year and keeps his job. I mean, I don't, you know, that's another thing to keep in mind. Maybe that'll be too much. But I feel like with his track record and what he's done, that there is definitely a chance for a jump from Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if we don't see a jump from Trevor Lawrence next year to some extent, then I think you start worrying about him, just like people are thinking about Tua right now.
Yeah, and how many times have we seen this? Sometimes it matters just as much where you get drafted as it doesn't as it matters, you know, your talent level, right? Like, getting drafted to Jacksonville is not good. Getting drafted to the Detroit Lions, as we found out, is not good.
That's right. Bless your lucky stars, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Maybe falling in the draft was a good thing with Aaron Rodgers. We'll continue the discussion. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking a look at the AFC South, do the Titans have the easiest path to the playoffs in the entire NFL? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Join the Nashville Super Speedway and 102.5 The Game for the official NASCAR Daytona 500 watch party this Sunday at 3rd and Home at 919 3rd Avenue North. Starting at 1 p.m., NASCAR fans and sports fans alike are encouraged to come out and join in on the fun while enjoying a full menu of food and drinks at 3rd and Home. Those in attendance can take the opportunity to purchase tickets for this summer's NASCAR Triple Header weekend, and they'll have a chance to win great prizes courtesy of 102.5 The Game and Nashville Super Speedway, Music City's home for NASCAR Cup racing. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Yo, Rex Road's favorite band, Blink-182, bringing us back in the house. Joe, did you know that was Blink-182 song?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I've also been subjected to Blink-182 music in my life. We should all have a support group, those of us who have. Millions of us belong to this group.
Yes, they do.
I actually really like this song. Maybe this one will become a frequent bump music selection.
Bam, bam, bam. There's Blink-182 for you. Bam, 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 bam.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
Way to go.
I could do a whole Blink-182 box set on a kazoo.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we've talked about the AFC South with Houston and Jacksonville being in the state that they're in. Who knows who the quarterback's going to be for the Colts next year? Could be Carson Wentz. Could be Jimmy G. They could draft someone. I have no clue what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do at the quarterback position as they move forward next year. So, Joe Rexroad, I ask you this. As it stands today, as we sit here and look at the NFL before free agency begins, before all sorts of player movement could take place, do you think the Titans have the easiest path to the playoffs in the entire NFL? Do the Titans have the easiest path to the playoffs in the entire league?
No, I think I'd go with the Cowboys. Wouldn't you go with the Cowboys?
They got to be up there.
Just because – I mean, I think the Cowboys, you could argue. Now, we'll see. We'll see with those teams. I would also say, like, anybody in the NFC South who finds a pulse, you know, like if the Bucs get any kind of quarterback, I'd look at them too now.
Yeah.
You know, but you're talking about – I mean, at least with the Titans, like, you do have at least one other good team. Yes, you have – so is it better to have two – absolute cheeks teams in your division, and we just talked about how one of them may only be one cheek next year? Or is it better to have three? That's the thing. I know Eagles fans would be like, hey, we made the playoffs, I still think you're dog water. So I just feel like you got three average or to down to bad with the Giants teams in your division for the Cowboys. And I would say anybody in the NFC, I would give an edge to as well, because I think the AFC is clearly the stronger conference right now. So I'm looking at Titans. Then, you know, then of course, if you want to get into the fact that when you win the division, then you get a first place schedule.
Yep.
So that means that the Titans, let's see, they've got some pretty, you know, tough games. They've got the way the schedule breaks down. They got the Broncos and Raiders at home. It is a good – well, there's another thing when you want to talk about who has the easiest path, the Titans get to play the NFC East this year.
Yep.
So that's a nice break for the Titans as compared to last year. Now, they did great against the NFC West, best division in football, but it's still on paper going in. get the Cowboys coming to your place, the one team you really have to worry about, Giants coming in too. And then, of course, that means you go to the Eagles and the Commanders.
Yes.
Let's not forget about the Commanders. Bengals coming in here for a nice little rematch. Chiefs on the road. That's a bit of a tough game. Chargers on the road. Yeah, that's a bit of a toughie too. Bills on the road. Packers on the road. That's the extra game. I don't know, man.
That's true.
It could be Titans quarterback Aaron Rodgers and Packers quarterback Jordan Love in a showdown in Lambeau. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Could be some good stuff there. I don't know. Look, a lot of this answer to me is going to depend on what the Colts do at quarterback. Like, I have a feeling it's either going to be Carson Wentz or it's going to be like a Jimmy G type guy. Like, I don't know that I can imagine them starting a rookie at quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted one. Like, if the Colts draft a quarterback, I'm not going to be surprised by that. I guess I would be surprised if the route that Chris Ballard takes is, you know what? We feel like we've got the roster to be right there, but we're not sold on Carson Wentz. We're going to go with a rookie, especially a rookie in this draft class. I would be surprised if like Desmond Ridder is leading the Colts next year and is the quarterback. But if they switch out quarterbacks, or let's say they keep Carson Wentz, like they just realize ultimately that Carson Wentz is going to be the best option that they have moving forward because they're not able to pull off a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy G goes somewhere else. Like, don't you feel pretty good about the Titans at that point, like of their path of, all right, you got Houston, you've got Jacksonville, and you've got the Carson Wentz-led Colts after the ownership and front office have just eviscerated him all offseason long. I'm feeling pretty good about that if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, but I mean, look, let's go back to last year. I mean, they played two really close games against them. Granted, Carson Wentz gifted them the second one.
They did.
But I mean, the Colts were in that game on the day that he couldn't move. And he was able to still make enough throws while gingerly just like standing in one spot all day. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, tell me, this is what we don't know. What if the Colts have a great offseason, all of a sudden they've got way more weaponry on the outside and they shore some things up and the Titans don't, you know, the Titans cannot have another offseason, especially I'd say, I guess, draft, because I think the free agent offseason last year was pretty good. But,
yep,
you know, they can't have another like empty draft. I mean, you know, if one of those teams, I think they're close enough still, the Titans and Colts, to that if one of them has a markedly better offseason than the other, then that would be my pick. Right now, I would pick the Titans. If it's Carson Wentz at quarterback for the Colts, I would pick the Titans to win the AFC South. But I do think it's close and potentially really close.
I think it's close. I would also say that the Titans defense, when they were playing against the Colts in both matchups, that defense transformed as that season went on. Like the Titans defense we saw the both times they played the Colts was not the same defense that we saw at the end of the season. Now, can you keep that up next year? That there's no guarantee that they're just going to be able to pick up right where they left off next year either.
No, that's a good point. They absolutely. Well, it's funny because, you know, the day in Indy, Halloween day in Indy, really wasn't the Titans weren't very good on defense that day. Yep. That was, of course, Derrick Henry's last day until the playoff game. Now, the defense made huge plays at the end, but it was the very next week that I feel like they sort of found their groove as a defense, led by Jeffrey Simmons destroying the Rams' offensive line. So that's true. I think the Colts are going to be good next year. I agree with you. Like, maybe Ursay is just so – he's like, guys, I want him out of here. I'm replaying the Jacksonville game. He's out of here.
Yeah.
And that may happen, but I do think the more likely path is probably that they actually make a move here in the draft and try to get one of those guys, which could obviously be bad long-term, for the Titans if they pick the right guy. But, yeah, how much – who in this draft is going to come right in unless they can get, and I don't even know that Pickett is my top QB based on what I've seen and based on, you know, what you hear from the Senior Bowl, there's a lot of talk about it. It's like him and everyone else. You know, he's going to go really high. You know, are the Colts going to make a move like that, whatever it would take to get way up and get a guy like that?
Well, let's say they do. Let's say the Colts make a move to go get Kenny Pickett. And you're talking about a starting quarterback quartet next year in the AFC South of Trevor Lawrence, my guy Davis Mills, which I assume is going to be the starter down there in Houston, Kenny Pickett, and Ryan Tannehill. Like, if you maybe that does work out long term if you're a Titans fan, where Trevor Lawrence is great, Davis Mills continues to ascend and really reach above his potential. Kenny Pickett comes in there and is a good player long term. But if I'm a Titans fan, like, my window to win is right now. I'll worry about that later. Like, if you're telling me that the quarterbacks next year are Trevor Lawrence, Kenny Pickett, and Davis Mills in the AFC South and Ryan Tannehill, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'm taking my chances with that.
Yeah, and it's probably more like Desmond Ridder or something.
Yeah.
You know, or Carson Strong. I mean, so, yeah, look. I mean, the only, but I still think it's a race, though, and I also think, you know, again, we'll see what all the transactions are. Who do the Titans have to cut? The Titans have much tougher time with their cap situation right now than the Colts do. The Colts can pretty much keep things, whoever they want to keep, they're fine. You know, the Titans aren't in that situation. There are players the Titans want to keep that they will not keep, that they cannot keep, because yes, the cap is a real thing. But I would be surprised at all. A lot of people are picking the Colts next year, even if it's like running it back with Wentz. But unless it's one of those guys who just, to me, daily just seems more and more unrealistic. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it just seems that way. Then nothing's going to really shake it up significantly other than one of those two guys.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's big win last night against Kentucky. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning, talking Vols, their big win last night against Kentucky. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well. Yeah, impressive evening at Thompson Bowling Arena, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. So, Mike, let's just start with that. What did last night's win for Tennessee prove to you about this team and about what this could mean for the Vols as they move forward here?
Yeah, you know, the last time that Tennessee lost in SEC play, it was at Kentucky as well. And it was that drubbing, 107-79. And since then, Tennessee's rattled off seven straight SEC wins, but it was mostly kind of against that bottom half group in SEC play. So this was kind of that chance to me for Tennessee to say, all right, we say we're different, now we're going to prove it. And they actually did. That was kind of, to me, what needed to happen in this game to really buy into how different Tennessee has looked in the past month, and it not just being a competition thing, but being an actual real thing about Tennessee.
So, Jonas Adu, I believe you wrote about him. I mean, I tried to get you to ask me some Zakai Ziegler questions, but you ignored me last night. That's cool.
Who are you?
but Jonas Adu, I mean, you know, you and I talked about him before the season. And by the way, I got to give you props, actually, on the Ziegler front, who I wrote about today. But I got to give you props, one, because you told me long before they ever played a game, like, wait till you see this dude. And also, you wrote a great story about him, I think it was last week, right, for the Knoxville News Sentinel, about his I think you've gotten a lot of reaction. It's a terrific story. But Jonas Adu, we also talked about going in the season. You know, he's sick. I mean, who knows if he's even going to make any kind of difference this year. And look, you look at the roster of bigs, which, of course, now is one guy shorter because of Kamwa's injury, but – man, I think I like how you put it to Rick Barnes last night. I mean, what's it like to basically like acquire a player like that in February Because I feel like maybe he could really start to carve out a bigger role here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking in a way. I spent the first couple months of the season half joking, half seriously saying, play Adu over Urosh. Don't care if Jonas is ready or not. He's going to give you more potentially. I don't think he actually would have at that point, but what he's done, especially last night, is crazy. And it really does just resemble this trade deadline final second pickup during the MLB season, and now he's playing a major role. And it does sound like Adu was on the verge of getting minutes regardless. But when Olivier Kamwa goes out and you have this guy on the bench that you can suddenly throw in there and do what he's doing, it's kind of wild. But what I think is so impressive is, and this is kind of what I wrote today, was it's not just that he played and played well, it's that he really looked like he belonged. And for someone who'd played 15 minutes all season as of 10 days ago, to walk onto the court and belong against the number three team in the country and a potential National Player of the Year candidate, it's kind of mind-blowing to be able to say that.
Mike, going back to the Ziegler front of this, it's been so much fun to watch him play, and obviously we've talked to you before about him. He just seems to be the spark plug that really is driving this team right now. I guess my question for you is, how has he been able to do what he's done so early on and be as consistent as he has been? And as you kind of forecast him, not only for the rest of this season, but the rest of his college career, what sort of a player do you think he's going to be as he gains more experience for this group?
Yeah, you know, I'll borrow the line from Rick Barnes. It constantly kind of says it's in Zakai's DNA. Just the way that he plays defense, the tenacity, the way that he does everything. He truly plays a fearless brand of basketball, and you see that offensively and defensively. He's on one end, he's going to guard whomever's in front of him and do it to the best of his ability. And on offense, he's shorter than everyone else in the court, except for maybe Sevier Wheeler last night, but typically everybody. But goes to the rim, takes the contact, knocks to the court. I mean, he just goes and gets it done, not afraid to take a shot. And he hit that big three last night. And I know Joe wrote about Zakai last night. He hit a big three last night. That kind of, I think, really cemented that Tennessee wasn't going to let Kentucky keep coming back into the game. And he just makes those plays. And he seems like that guy other than Santiago Vescovi that whenever the ball leaves his hand, you think it's going in, maybe more than anyone else in this roster. As far as the rest of his career, I joked yesterday that when Tennessee retires number five for Chris Lofton, it's going to have Admiral Schofield and Zakai Ziegler underneath it. Now, is that really the future for Zakai Ziegler? Who knows, but obviously is already a fan favorite for so many reasons. And it's really fun to see that happen for someone who wasn't even on campus when preseason basketball started for Tennessee in August.
No, it's incredible that, because it is to me a natural Grant Williams comparison, just in terms of, I mean, from very early Grant Williams freshman year, I'm like, what are we doing here? He played AAU basketball. He played at a good high school. Look at the dude play. What were people not seeing here? And I know some of that was him getting in better shape and things like that, but still, like, it was a bit stunning. And I understand that Ziegler is, I don't know, what is he? What is he really? Is he 5'7"? Is he 5'8"?
I mean, I'm going to defer to Charmaine Ziegler on this one, who adamantly says he is 5'9".
Okay. Well, fine. So he's 5'9". Well, then that's even less excuse. I mean, I understand that that's undersized, but it's just – stunning to me that and I know that you've chronicled how it all went, but still, I think some people are really going to be kicking themselves. I think he's going to be just a terrific player for 4 years. And so here's the thing, Mike, with this team, Rick Barnes for the last 2 years has not had a point guard. And we know, and we talked about this too, everybody talks about Grant Williams or they talk about Admiral Schofield, but those teams were driven by Jordan Bone. And now he has two who can get wherever they want to get. I feel like they're both becoming plus defenders. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean for the trajectory and the potential of this team here in the next 6 weeks or so?
And I would 100% agree on the Bone thing, because he scored 27 against Kentucky a couple years back, and his growth really did power that team to that number one spot in the country when he really became the point guard for Rick Barnes. But these are the two maybe most pure point guards that Barnes has had when you look at Kennedy Chandler and Zakai Ziegler. And that lineup that he plays at the end of the game with Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan-James, and typically John Fulkerson, but really whichever big is playing the best, has been really potent late in the game. And that ability to move the ball, guard the ball, and do the things that they're doing, I think is what makes this team a very good team potentially in March, just what that lineup does. It's so different. It's not the starting lineup. It's that old, the lineup that finishes the game is more important. And Tennessee's lineup that finishes the game harkens back to that lineup where it was Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams. That's very similar to what Rick Barnes would do with that team. And that team had success because of it as well.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, should Rick Barnes just tell John Fulkerson that, you know, every game they're playing against Kentucky, should that be the strategy that maybe he employs moving forward here?
His career trajectory against Kentucky is fascinating. Because we looked at that after Tennessee lost at Rupp. He's only scored in, I believe, 2 of 5 games at Rupp, and one of them was a 3-minute outing, so it doesn't quite count, but one of those was that 27-point outing. And then last night, he played like a man who was playing his last game against Kentucky and really didn't want to lose to Kentucky in what might have been his final meeting. But I think it's bigger than that for Fulkerson. The past 2 games, he's been really good. And getting him back to that place as, you know, the oldest guy on this team, guy who's been through it all, was on that number one team and the SEC title team, is really valuable for Tennessee, just in scoring, rebounding, but also just in presence. And I thought that was a terrific sign the past week.
So, Mike, now some more opportunities ahead. I mean, Auburn's coming into Knoxville. There's, you know, Arkansas's a big game, a couple Arkansas games coming up. So, you know, certainly an opportunity to keep adding to that resume for a team that only has quadrant one losses. I would say, tell me if you disagree, but I would say Tennessee definitely has a 3 seed as a strong possibility. Maybe better if they were to make a run in Tampa. But I always look at the NCAA tournament in terms of where you might go, how that might be an advantage. It seems to me like Greenville would be a really – I mean, I don't think they're going to get Indy because I think Kentucky and Purdue are going to be there. But Greenville – could be a really nice place. I'm sure you would like that too, by the way. Do you think that's possible? The only way I see it is, I guess, if they could pass Duke on the overall seeding list.
Yeah, it's conceivable. I don't know what exactly it would take. Obviously, it would be affected by what other teams do. But Tennessee does have those resume-boosting wins remaining out there. And it's funny, I think if you'd ask me if Tennessee's going to beat Auburn on February 26th at Thompson Bowling Arena, going into yesterday, I would have said, yeah, right, because just the way that Auburn has handled Tennessee the past few seasons has been pretty crazy. But Tennessee at Thompson Bowling Arena is really different. They've not lost there this year. They've won 15 in a row at home. And you saw the environment last night. It was really impressive. Arkansas also comes to Thompson Bowling Arena. So there's another one where Tennessee's got a shot. They do go to Bud Walton on Saturday, and that's a very difficult place to play. And that might be another one of those games where Tennessee can prove something, because they have won a couple road games now. They've won at Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. They haven't gone into one of those big environments and won. So it's another opportunity for that. But it's conceivable to see them jump that high. I certainly think they entrench themselves as a 4 seed probably in bracketology right now. But, you know, we're still, 3.5 weeks out or so from Selection Sunday, so a lot of time for things to shuffle for teams.
Mike Wilson for the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrogue. Mike, appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson does a great job covering the Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Let's very quickly go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in, hey, Michelle, did your fingers burn from having to push to play that button on the song to come back into the segment?
Actually,
Michelle did
yes,
love play a little
did.
Rocky Top right
they
there.
They did. My fingers are on fire right now.
Huffy texting in says, how is Michelle and the Kentucky Boohoo crew doing this morning? The Kentucky Boohoo crew.
Even Jared was getting on Kentucky last night. I'm like, you're a Louisville fan. You don't even like Tennessee.
There's a lot of...
Well, yeah, but of course he's going to get on Kentucky.
That's what I mean.
There's a lot of talk on the text line about Michelle today. It's good stuff. Lots of people looking forward to the outfit tomorrow. It's going to be a good time. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Robbie Stanley, myself, in the questions chair today. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I am in the questions tier this week. Michelle Konezovic, since it's been a rough day for you, we'll let you pick. Would you like to start with sports or non-sports?
Let's start with non-sports. You know, just a little clean slate for me. Maybe okay, the text we'll line can forget about what we were talking about earlier, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I doubt that happens. Sure. We'll see what happens on that front. We'll go with non-sports to begin. All right. We're fresh off of Valentine's Day, which I got to tell you, I just think is one of the dumber holidays out there. It leads me to this question. What is the most overrated holiday in your mind? The most overrated holiday that you think gets way too much attention? You take it any way you want to take it. I'll start. My answer is Valentine's Day. And it almost feels like when I watch this, like people and their significant others, like it makes me wonder if they see each other for the rest of the year. Because it's like, oh, I'm hanging out with my husband tonight. Or, oh, I'm hanging out with my wife tonight. I'm like, well, that's great. I do that every day. Like, do y'all ever hang out with your significant other? That's awesome. Valentine's Day, most overrated holiday on the books, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Robbie hates love and puppies and rainbows.
I do.
Robbie,
so wait, hold on real quick, Michelle. So is Valentine's Day or Sweetest Day worse then?
What day?
Sweetest Day. What is that?
Oh, God. Well, you guys don't know about Sweetest Day? It's like the fake Valentine's Day like they put in October so we could have two Valentine's Days.
That's
a real thing.
That's
I don't even recognize that as a thing.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. Text line, help me out.
Every day is a day.
Help me out. Dude, sweet.
I'm not saying it's not a thing. I just don't recognize that stuff.
I mean, believe me, I hate it, but it is real. Come on, people, help me out. All right, go ahead.
I think I'm going to go Valentine's Day as well, Rob. I mean,
that shocks me.
Well, because is it shocking because I'm a girl?
Yeah, it is.
No, I agree. I think it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you love your people, your family, your significant other, but I feel like you can show that every single day. And I get it. There's a specific day, but it also doesn't give you an excuse to just kind of the rest of the year. And plus, social media, you can just not every single photo. It's like, I love you so much. I love you so much. Yeah. I love you so much. Oh, my God. Let me post these flowers. Let me post these chocolates. Let me post this. And it's like, okay, let's just simmer down for a second. Why don't you just stay off the social media? Just enjoy the time. There's no need to just put it all over. Every Snapchat, every Instagram, click all the way through. I was like, oh gosh, but yeah, I'm gonna do the same Valentine's Day.
Well, that's a good point. Although what you're talking about there is also like societal ill in general. Like, you know, people doing awesome things and like they just have to put it somewhere on social media. You know, but I'm gonna go New Year's Eve, and yes, I'm biased because it's my birthday too. But that, I mean, I hate New Year's Eve so much. It's so bad. I mean, and like, to be serious, people drink too much and people drink and drive, and it's a terribly dangerous holiday. Also, it's just idiotic. And it's just, and again, if it's your birthday, there's a lot of reasons it sucks. So from a variety of angles, definitely New Year's Eve. No one ever has their expectations fulfilled on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That is so
James,
true.
James in Nashville texting in says, Joe got duped into a second Valentine's Day. It's coming from James in Nashville.
Dude, Sweetest Day is stupid, but it is real. And
Katie and Caroline are smart. They're smart. They're tricking Joe.
Just totally made up a holiday. Sean on the text line says, St. Patty's Day is stupid and pointless. So is green beer. That's coming from Sean on the text line.
I strongly disagree with that. I love me St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I disagree. A lot of times it's like NCAA tournament. You got some green beer. You got some corned beef hash. Come on, man.
Let's go to the sports part of the program now. All right. You could pick one of these if you're a Predators fan that is guaranteed to happen. You sign Philip Forsberg to an 8-year, $68 million deal. Philip Tomasino blossoms into a perennial 60-point player, or you can go for it this year and trade for Claude Giroux and Cale Yarncroke, and there's no guarantee that Forsberg's coming back. So you have three options. You can pick one that happens. You're signing Forsberg to an 8-year, $68 million deal. Philip Tomasino blossoms into a perennial 60-point player every year, or you trade this year for Claude Giroux and Cale Yarncroke, and you take a swing at it with this group. What are you doing?
So to be clear, if one, whatever you pick, it doesn't mean the other stuff doesn't happen necessarily. Is that right? Like, it's not like
it doesn't mean it necessarily. But I would, like, in the instance of this, like, if Philip Tomasino is blossoming into a 60-point player per year, probably means Philip Forsberg's not here. So you can take your pick.
Well, okay. Because that would be my easy pick, you know. It's like, because obviously I'm thinking if that happens and they still have Forsberg, then you like their chances for years to come.
I would say so.
I'm still going to lean with that. I'm going to go with that. Tomasino becoming a perennial 60-point scorer, that's but if you think that that means less likely Forsberg, okay, then I guess I'll go with Forsberg.
So you're going Forsberg?
I go Forsberg.
Okay. Michelle, you could sign Forsberg to an 8-year, $68 million deal. Philip Tomasino turns into a perennial 60-point player, or you can go all in this year, trade for Claude Giroux and Cale Yarncroke, and go for it with this team. What are you doing?
See, I was debating between the same two as Joe, but I think I'm going to go the Tomasino route just because he's younger, and I just don't know Philip Forsberg. 8 years, that's a long time. And he's already... How old is he now? He's in his 30s?
27.
Oh, he's 27? Okay, 8 years, that puts him at almost over
34.
Maybe 35, yeah. 35. 34, 35, yep. I'm going to go Tomasino for just him being young, and if he can hold that 60 goals, that's more than, well, I guess the season's not over, but now I'm talking myself out of it. But okay, Philip Tomasino.
I'm going Forsberg. I'm signing him 8 years, $68 million deal. I'm going to make a call your shot edition of The Choice Is Yours. Forsberg's contract ends up being 8 years, $68 million on the dot. What do you think of that one, Joe Rexroad?
I think you're right in that range. I could see it for sure. If you get that exactly right, you should win a prize.
I'll give you a Kentucky shirt.
Yeah, nothing would make me happier. Give me the Kentucky shirt. All right, moving back to non-sports. You can pick one TV/streaming series, and it's the only series that you can watch for the next 2 years. Which one is it? You can pick one that you can watch for the next 2 years. Which series are you going with? I'll start on this one because I know that may require some time to think about. There are a couple options. I just saw the ending of Ozark in the first part of the last season. It's pretty awesome. So I am tempted to go there. I'm going to go Mandalorian. I'm in a big Mandalorian kick right now. Love me some Mandalorian. If you've not seen the latest episodes of Book of Boba Fett, I won't have any spoilers out there, but just go watch it. It's good stuff. I'm going Mandalorian. Big Star Wars guy.
Michelle? You ready? You want me to go?
You go, Joe.
So I'm going to – this is not – so there's a lot of shows out there that I could say I could watch over and over again. I'd say my favorite show currently going, and I'm extremely excited, sad that it's the last season, but excited about it, is Better Call Saul, which is way better than I ever would have guessed. I still think Breaking Bad's probably the best series I've ever seen, and it's hard to put that over Sopranos. But I'm gonna answer with The Wire. We're just starting The Wire. It's absolutely ridiculous that I haven't watched The Wire yet in my life. But because I haven't seen it, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to believe that it's as good as everyone says it is, and then I'm going to want to watch it over and over again.
I've never seen The Wire either, so maybe I got to figure that out too.
Okay, I've never seen any of those shows you're talking about, and this one was kind of hard for me because obviously you guys know I'm not very versed in my TV shows and my movies. And at first, I was going to go with some reality TV show, but that's... Oh, Joe's smiling. Look at him. He's like, no.
Don't do it.
That's like my guilty pleasure, but it gets old and the drama gets too much. I think I'm going to go Euphoria. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Oh, it's wild. And some of the stuff that happens is just really insane and it makes you uncomfortable. But it's just fascinating, and I love the show, and it's in season two right now. So go watch season one, and season two is airing right now. Comes out on Sundays. You're welcome.
I like it. I like it. So all right, last one real quickly. The Brooklyn Nets or the Field to come out of the Eastern Conference in the NBA? You taking the Brooklyn Nets or are you taking the Field to come out of the Eastern Conference in the NBA? Joe, I'll start with you.
I'll go with the Field because I still think that the Bucks have a real chance to beat them again, but it's tough. I mean, I mean the Brooklyn Nets are my favorite now to win the East, but I'll go with the Field because there's still a lot of stuff you don't know how it's all going to work out. I mean, I love the move to get Ben Simmons, but I'm not sure. So I'll go Field and probably drifting toward the Bucks there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go maybe your Miami Nets. Heat.
Hey, watch out for them.
I'm gonna go Field as well. I mean, you've got the Bucks, you got the Heat first right now in the East, and guys, the Bulls. DeMar DeRozan is in the MVP conversation. Joe, I know it pains you that I just said the Bulls, but
I don't care anymore.
Oh, he's unfazed. Look at him.
I hate the old Bulls. These guys are whatever. These children, they're fine.
Joe, they're second in the East. They're good. They're a good team. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go Field. I just don't. The Nets have a big question mark for me right now. I got to see a little bit more before I answer that.
I mean, right now the Nets are the 8th seed. They're in the 8th seed in the East. Now, I think that's going to change as they move forward here because Kyrie's playing more and Ben Simmons is about to hand in there. I am very tempted to go Field here. I'm going to go Brooklyn, though. I think Brooklyn finds a way to get it done. I'll go with the Nets. Even though I hate the Nets, I'll go Nets.
Joey Buckets comes back. They got a lot of shooters. Ben Simmons, get him the ball.
Ben Simmons can play defense, which is something that James Harden has not figured out how to do.
Seth Curry?
He's pretty good. Pretty good. I'll go Nets. This has been The Choice Is Yours. We appreciate your participation on our text line. We are sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. The choice is yours every single week here on Wednesday at 7:45. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing.
Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save